agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
Hello there, everybody. This is the Say What Show. It's May 4th, 2019. With me is Dolly Howard, and we have Barbara White with us and Judy Carroll, our out-of-towners. This is the first Saturday of the month. So I'm just going to say, Dolly, how you doing? Because she's got lights flickering, so we might as well talk to her while we can.
Hi, Dolly. Hi, Judy and Nancy.
Hi, Dolly.
Hello, girls. I'm doing good. Hope you guys are, too.
And Miss Judy Carroll, how are you doing?
Yes, you're doing really well today. We've got lovely weather. We're normally the ones having storms, but it's beautiful here today.
Where are you?
I'm in Queensland, southeast Queensland,
Australia.
Oh, that's
Australia. Right.
Yeah, we're just going into winter.
Yeah. It was beautiful here, too. I was in the pool for at least 2 hours today. It was that beautiful here. The storm
wow.
just started rolling in about 15 minutes before showtime.
Well, that's rude.
I know.
Really?
I agree.
For some reason, I'm thinking you're in Indiana, and I know you're in Florida.
Uh-huh.
But
well,
I'm picturing you in the storm that we're having.
I was in Indiana. I lived in Indiana for quite a while.
Is that how you met Colleen?
No.
You never met her?
Not in person.
Oh,
I didn't. We went to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Right.
And that's how we got acquainted.
So what part of Indiana were you in?
South Bend.
Okay.
Notre Dame.
Okay.
We lived 2 miles away from Notre Dame.
You know that my sister Linda, whom maybe you've talked with Nancy, but anyway, Linda and Colleen went to school together in Muncie.
They Linda went, and Nancy?
Yeah. No, Linda and Colleen.
Colleen. Oh.
You may have talked with Linda with Nancy at some point, because Linda was on a couple of shows.
Oh. Did I, Nancy?
I don't think you were ever on the show with her, but you might have been. I don't know. That was years ago. I'm thinking back. It had to be before 2016. So early 2016, late 2015.
Oh.
Whenever the Animas River was poisoned by that mine, quote, disaster. It was a disaster, but I don't think it was an accident.
Oh, I think it was an accident, but it wasn't a disaster because your sister reached out to people that could do something about it, and it was taken care of.
Right, I know. And you don't think it was, you think it was natural, huh?
Oh, I think they were trying to clean up the mines so they could get back into them. I don't think it was deliberate. So why would they do that? Well, who knows? They could do
it. Oh.
Yeah, five states would have been killed. If we hadn't have stepped in, five states would have been killed. And anybody that is hearing this, you know, you can go to YouTube and you can put in the King Gold Mine and then put in Cosmic Reality. And we have a couple of shows up that talk about how we essentially, through using etheric energies in concert with nature and the djinn and everybody who said no to this event, you know, and how this river that was orange for miles and miles and miles and was going to get into the Colorado and essentially kill, I think it was three or four states in the Navajo Nation. I don't remember right now the exact number, but, you know, Walt Silva, myself, and everybody that listened to us, you know, we said we can do something about this. And your sister did. We sent her a water turtle that she threw in the river.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, but you can go to YouTube and those videos are up. So,
well, it's really incestuous. Here we are. I mean, we just have so many connections. All of us have so many various connections. It's just really interesting to me.
is. I find life even more interesting all the time because of the different things that are being exposed to me. I don't know how else to say it. Different things I'm learning that are not coincidental. They really are, but I never would have thought of them being connected to me. I don't know how to say it.
Nancy and Judy, would you mind if we ask Dolly to talk about some of those things?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear some of those things, Dolly.
I probably heard them all, but I like to hear her stories.
Nancy gets subjected daily to my stories. Well, let me think.
Well, tell us some things that are going on currently or that have happened recently.
Oh, I got to jump in here because she's had a healing, and I want to know, did she go up to a Zeta ship?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Remember, because after the show, or maybe even during the show, Dolly says to me, I really want to go up to one of the Zeta ships and get fixed, like, you know, Judy, I'm so sorry. Judy, we got all these first names here, and I get confused. Judy, Judy had said that she had been up there helping people, getting fixes etherically, and then 3D-ish, so that they could survive to accomplish their mission. And one day she had a thing with Walt, and it could have been the thing with Walt, or it could have been the fact that we were working with Shungite. But then all of a sudden I said, "Why? What did she say to me?" She said, "I would like to go up there to the Zeta ship." She said, "Do you think I can go up there to a Zeta ship and get fixed?" And I said, "I don't know. Just ask." So after the next, 24 hours later, somebody that was having a lot of problems is now like, "I just ran a block." She was doing a marathon. And I'm going like, okay, what happened? And all of a sudden I was like, I was like on a ship, with Dolly on a table. And I said, uh-oh. And I don't know if that was my, boom, imagination kicking in, but it felt like a remote. And I'm going like, I think I'll tell her. Yeah, you might have gone up there, so you might want to ask about that.
Well, I did. I woke up. It was shortly after our show. I don't know if it was the next day or that week. But I woke up and I felt better than I have felt ever in my life.
Wow.
And I had so much energy, nobody could keep me still. Because I don't get to move around like I was then. And I think it lasted for about a week. And I just would, gradually I got to where I would tire out easily. But I enjoyed so much feeling so good with no pain. I didn't have any pain. And I was so full of energy. So I was zipping around the house and doing stuff. And Nancy kept saying, "You just save your energies for the show." And I thought, well, I'll try. But next second, I'm up and running around. I couldn't save anything for anyone. I had
keep
to be
nagging
up
them,
and
Dolly.
Open.
Keep nagging them, Dolly. They'll take you up again. Just keep nagging.
Well, I didn't even know to enjoy it. I mean, the experience of being up there.
Judy, if we ask, they'll take us and work on this?
If it's meant to be, they will. But, you've got to ask first. People don't ask enough.
Well, that was why I even tweaked on it, because she had asked.
Yeah. It's important to do that. They love it when people down here acknowledge them and ask for help. And I get a lot of feedback like that on, when I've done interviews and people have read my books and other books written by other Zeta people down here. It's like the act of reading the book, it's like it turns a switch on and gives them a connection, and they often have experiences after it. I just did an interview a few days ago, and I've been getting so much feedback on that. In a similar way.
Who did you do the interview with?
Was that the Regina Meredith interview?
It was with Regina Meredith.
Okay. Get me the link to that, if you would. Not right now.
I'll send it through. Yeah.
Or maybe we should at the end of the show so that people that are chatting could see it too. Interesting. Well, I got your books. Thank you very much. They got here.
Oh, good. Good.
And
good.
Of course, they're still sitting here, but the energy's here.
Well, that's what counts.
Right. I'm trying to get Dolly to read them. She does it, reads them on you know, out loud, makes, you know, vocally reads them. And if you've never read a, even if you've read the book, you have not read the book until Dolly reads it to you.
Oh, that's lovely.
I don't mind reading it.
Well, I've got three of them here. I got to decide.
Three of them. Well,
yeah,
we'll
I've got to decide
with one,
which
one and go on to the next one.
Right. I got to decide which one I want to hear first before I send it to you. I better get it to you before you.
Maybe we can get them out as audio books with Dolly reading them.
I'll tell you, because she'll go, well, listen, I got a story, you know, and all of a sudden she's talking about a story that is, you know, something in her life, and then she'll say, oh, I don't believe that. She talks to the author, oh, don't do that, oh, no, you know. Sometimes I'm laughing so hard I don't even know what she's reading. Oh, yeah, it's fun. But I do comment
as I go through the book, and then some of the things remind me of some life experience I had. So then, of course, I have to say what that life experience was. So it's not just, I don't just read the words in the book.
It's, I love the comments.
It takes her forever to get through a book. She read the Wilcox, was which one was it, the source, what
the,
did we
the Ascension
Mysteries, and I think it took her 4 months.
I think so. But that was a good book. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I had a hell of a good time. I just kept hoping, please let her live until this book. I figured this is such a long book. She's not going to die until the end of the book. That's what I kept counting on.
See, I always have these goals. Okay, now I have to stay alive till I get this done. And then I get that done and I'm thinking, oh, well. But nope. As soon as that thought enters my mind, something enters my life in it. Oh, no, I can't go until this is done now. So, I may be here forever.
Just don't develop my habit. I always read the last page first when I buy a book.
Annette says she's okay with that, with me. Thank you, Annette. I love you, too. She's my oldest living child. I don't know why but lately it's been very important to me to say my oldest living child or my three living children. I don't know why, but my first baby has been in my dreams, on my mind, around me, and I see him in the different stages. I see him sometimes as the baby. I see him sometimes as an adult. I see him sometimes as a teenager. I don't know why, but he's been with me a lot lately.
How old would he be, Dolly?
Let's see. Annette's going to be 50, so he would have been like 52.
And did he die as an infant?
I lost him in a miscarriage.
Oh.
And it was thanks to Agent Orange.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Because my ex had just gotten home, and we got married, and then I got pregnant with him and lost him.
You know, it's very strange because... yesterday, maybe the day before, maybe it was just yesterday, I suddenly focused on you saying that, my oldest living child. And I'm going like, I've listened to this woman for hundreds and hundreds of hours. I don't know who she's talking about. You never discussed this before that I know of. And then about a month ago, all of a sudden you started making that phrase, and I never said anything to you about it. But now, so it's something trending. It's probably something you really should look at. And the fact that you said that it was a response in your a pregnant body to your husband coming back with Agent Orange, why are you making it that connection?
Because there were other people whose husbands had just gotten home, and they were in Nam too, and they lost babies same time. And then there was this big scandal, oh, Agent Orange is making the women lose their babies these days. That's why.
Because I'm getting like a message that things have changed so drastically in our environment, in our biosphere, in each and every one of us, our DNA, everything has changed so fast. And the basic way that we have been looking at our reality is absolutely crumbling. And I'm talking about geopolitical from that concept. It's focused on the 5G, but it's also on the vaccinations, on the pollution, the chemtrails, all of this. And the message I'm getting, Dolly, about this is that he is a victim of this awfulness, this poisoning, this toxicity of the biosphere. And those people that were the victims and are the victims are now sort of coming back as witnesses to this all becoming apparent to every human being that, you know, they've been poisoning us like this forever. And that it's almost, I almost feel like it's a court. We're in some kind of a court. And that these are the witnesses saying that this is what you did to me. This is what you did to me. And it's partially, it's not vengeance or revenge or any of that sort of thing. It's justice and forgiveness. So anybody out there that also may have lost a child that you assume or think may have been because of some kind of a toxic poisoning and you start thinking about this person, I think that they're being drawn back because every day I feel like something bigger and bigger is coming. And it's awareness. It's people are waking up. But anyway, that's what I get here.
Do you think it's because they're going to be exposed now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Monsanto is going down. Bayer's going down. Because I have more contacts in Europe now. And they're saying that the people in, like in Germany particularly, because Bayer is a German company, okay, that they're refusing to buy Bayer products. They are in uproar over. Say again?
I said, oh boy.
Yeah. And this is from people, Germans, that are telling me this.
Oh, that's very exciting and very encouraging.
Yeah, and the stocks are all crashing. The Monsanto itself, the glyphosate problem is, in the legal sense, is they're being taken down. They just had a huge settlement. That's just, I mean, now you see on television, you know, have you gotten sick because you had Roundup around you? Well, come here. We'll help you sue.
Yeah.
And it's really getting bigger and bigger. And that's why I feel like it's some kind of an awareness, like you would get in a court of law, the proof here. These people have done this to you. And that, you know, the people that were victims of it. Because I don't, you know, even if you're on the other side, you still have personas of you, yourself, that lock you sometimes in place and space. And you may go on in everything, all these other personas, but Walt will say it's a soul fragment. I think of it more as a piece of your personality gets locked someplace. And if we don't unlock these things by looking at them and then going through the forgiveness process of releasing the energy, it's like you have shackles on. And so when these things come, I felt it many, many times where a situation like the water situation when we was all the trying to stop the pipeline, and that I felt so many ancient indigenous people that were always surrounding that area. It's like they're still there, even though that piece of them is still there. And to me, this is like awesome. You know, all the victims are going to come back and point their fingers at you, and you know, then they're going to forgive you, and we're going to get on to the next stage. But that may be why, because I mean, I'm getting it too. Am I so locked into your head that you're getting these, you know, calls from your son, and I didn't even know anything about him until you started talking about him.
Yeah. And, well, I didn't used to talk about him at all. Russell would ask me. Russell's really into his older brother. He always wanted a brother, and he got two sisters. But every once in a while, he'll get on to his brother and want to talk about it. And so it didn't really surprise me that thoughts of him would come into me, but yet it did surprise me because I never really dwelled on it before. It was kind of painful. I hated to lose him.
Yes, but he had his own life purpose, and you know, now it's coming back, you know, he's coming back around. You know,
maybe he's also planning to reincarnate.
I think that you know, a lot of it had to do with that too. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Because when you started talking about it, I wanted to say, "Well, are you pregnant?"
Yeah. I was made in it back in 1970-something, 72 or 3.
So, okay, so did you want to ask Dolly? Because Dolly could take over the show, girls. I mean, do you?
I would not mind if Dolly took over the show at all. I mean, I think this is fun. We don't have to just focus on ETs or,
yes,
know,
we
questions.
Do.
Yeah, well, I got some questions, girls.
Well, go ahead, Dolly.
I saw on TV, on not the mainstream media, but the, like Fox News Channel and OAN, they were talking about UFOs. And the government had been acknowledging different things about the UFOs. So I think we're coming to the stage where they're finally going to acknowledge, yes, there's UFOs. Do you guys know anything about that they might be in the process of doing this?
I've got a feeling, yeah, I agree. I've got a feeling that they are gearing up for disclosure. I mean, you know, it's a free will planet, so whether they do or not, we can't control it. But I just get a feeling that they are. There seems to be more people talking about it now. It's coming into the mainstream more. I mean, even the fact that they've been showing that serial Project Blue Book on television, we've had it on TV here in Australia. I mean, you know, 5 years ago even, they would never have shown anything like that.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm going to jump in here for a second, and everybody knows that I'm on this, but I'm on this because it just keeps confounding me. Have you seen the video of the UFO that was over Paris and fades in, is there for 3 minutes, and as it's fading out, the fire from Notre Dame comes right through the picture? Have you seen this?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Barbara, you have?
I did. I wondered if it was not really a UFO, but if it was the you know, the hidden space program stuff where they were using DE, let's see, direct energy weapons to start.
Oh, girl,
the
you are so on.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you are so on. I can't, I can believe you absolutely got it.
And oh, thank you. I can't tell you when I say these things to people, they think I'm absolutely crazy. I have these hits.
No, that's perfect. Perfect. Now, I'll tell you, but see the huh?
I was trying to tell her that Nancy has been saying this now.
Yeah.
Well, oh, goody, goody.
What happened was I was on Skype with two people, and one of them said Notre Dame is on fire. And so we start to look, we stop the conversation, we start to look at the, you know, the news thread and see it. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I wonder what's happening. I went, I'm a remote viewer, I can go look at it. So I do, and the first thing I did was I popped in the middle of the crowd, and it was awful because they were all upset, you know. So I'm going, oh, no, not here. And I backed out, and I went, I've got to get to the time before the fire. And I also knew that the fire was in the back of the church. Okay, so I pop in there, and it's a dark room. There's absolutely nobody. I can detect no human being anywhere near me in any vicinity. And the room was didn't have much in it, but it felt like it had a few, like, contract type of stuff. You know, like they were renovating it, so stuff like that was around, but not much of it. And I'm going, like, okay, nothing seems. All of a sudden, wham, right above my head. Now, it was under the spire. Okay, and I hear this, and it wasn't like an explosion, although I reacted as if it was an explosion, but it was like this whoosh, right? And because I looked up and jerked my head, it threw me out of the remote. And so then I said, oh, what just happened? And then so I go back into it. And meanwhile, I'm talking the whole time this is happening. So these people are listening to my relating the story. And I said, wow, I said, that was a direct energy weapon. And now I'm going, like, okay, so who, because you have to ask the questions, otherwise you don't get anything. I said, what happened? A direct energy weapon. Okay, who did it? And it was, I got a white hat, big white hat in front of me, right? And then I see this whole, like, video went through my head, and I'm going, like, I'm still talking. I said, oh, wow, they got hit with something. I said, it looks like the white hats did it because of something the black hats were doing. And then the question came, well, who's the white hats? And I said, I don't know, maybe ETs, it's a spacecraft up there. You know? And then right after that, we get this picture of what looks like a spacecraft, you know, coming into view. Stays there 3 minutes, the fire starts, and it disappears. And the filming, because, Barbara, if you probably might have seen the first one or maybe the second one, but that film, that video that was put together, was actually based on still shots that were being taken a minute apart from a hotel that was looking at the Eiffel Tower. You didn't see Notre Dame in the picture, but it was looking across to the Eiffel Tower. And where the spacecraft was in relationship to Notre Dame, okay, that was also pictured because somebody in front of Notre Dame was taking a picture of a little girl dancing with her dad. And she's just got her focused on this too, and the church right behind them. But in the corner of the picture is the same thing. And it would have been exactly that relationship based on the ones that they had simultaneously happening that had the time stamp. Every minute was time stamped. Why isn't this out there? This is the most certified UFO ever. I have been a student of this subject for, you know, since I was 16 years old. I have never seen anything so absolutely concrete proof. This could not have been photoshopped. Because if it was photoshopped, how would you get that other picture? This guy pulled it from a Facebook. He shows where he got it. It was a woman that had taken this picture, not realizing the symbology of it, who then posted it on Facebook and said, if anybody knows this dad, you know, please let him get this picture. And somebody could say, oh, this is all manipulated. Yes, it is manipulated in that, how did we see this? How did this guy put this together, knit this thing together to be able to show this video? He went through dozens and dozens of online videos from that area, and then just happens to see this little dot and goes, what's that? You know, what I see happening is that information that they had easily been able to keep from us forever is now not being kept at all. It's like every time I turn around, I'm finding out something that, you know, is preposterous that we have the evidence. Like in 5G, Mark Steele was yelling at a linesman about the dangers of 5G. The linesman got so mad at him, he turned around and threw the circuit board he was putting in the equipment. And that circuit board is forensic evidence because it shows an electronic device that isn't for communications. It shouldn't be there. You know, so, I mean, how did that happen? Why would, I mean, all this setup, we're learning, it's like the thing is falling apart and we keep learning more and more. But this thing with the UFO and nobody's picking up on it out there, I'm just flabbergasted.
The thing we've got to remember is, what about this fake alien invasion that has been predicted? I wonder if that's part of that.
That's what I was wondering.
My feeling, and Barbara, you check me on this, my feeling was that this was not ETs, that this was, in fact, U.S. military secret space program that did this, okay?
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. And when I got talking, because after the fact, I mean, I said initially ET because that was a visual thing I saw. I didn't ask who was doing it. I just said, how did it happen? So they're showing me, you know. But after the fact, I went and I said, who was that? And what I got back was it was the rogue part of the, or not so rogue anymore, but the part of the military that is very much the white hats, the oath takers, the ones that are behind a lot of the things that are happening out there that people don't really fully comprehend unless you're watching it very carefully, and that they were the same people that took out the nuclear missile that was fired at Hawaii. That was clearly given to me. Same people. You know about the Hawaiian missile, right?
Somebody was shooting at Hawaii, but it didn't happen, right?
It was a missile that came from a submarine that was nuclear powered. It tripped all the radar systems. All of the phones in Hawaii went off saying, get duck for cover, you're about to die. And then when the missile just sort of like disappeared, which would have been a DEW, then it was a mistake. Somebody fell asleep at the switch or something. Nobody's in that switch.
No.
It's all automated.
Well, a lame excuse. You know, this stuff doesn't carry anymore. There was an interesting thing about what was going on in Notre Dame and why it was burned down. Now, I mean, of course, there are all these theories, and most of them are, you know, somebody left a torch burning. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Somebody was pointing out what was going on underneath Notre Dame during Holy Week and the ceremonies, and that they were very dark. And they ended their little discussion about what were they doing under there and pointed out that there were, I think they said millions, but at least thousands of skeletons underneath Notre Dame in the tunnels under Paris.
Oh, I've seen that before on TV, like on History Channel or something.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're right in the millions, yeah.
So there was some indication that someone had a question about dark practices going on during Holy Week that were being disrupted by this fire. And I think, how interesting is it that the organ was pretty much saved? I mean, that was my heartbreak. Oh, my God, that organ. But, you know, the sculptures and the statues and so many of the things that were treasures were not in there.
Oh, I mean, it gets better. Because I had the same thing. I said, I felt like I was probably in a room just under the spire, and that below me something dark ceremonial magic was occurring. Okay? So I thought initially that that's what they were trying to stop. But then I find out this other story, okay, that just unfortunately rang very true, but I didn't know how to even, you know, respond to it. Okay, so they get the renovation and they're taking out a lot of the very valuable artifacts that were in the church. The
right.
day before the fire, on the 15th, okay, they went up to the spire itself where they had 12 apostles, copper figurines of the
right.
apostles up there, all right? And what they did was they cut their heads off and then took them, the bodies, down with cranes. And the guy that ordered this to happen said, well, I needed to know what was inside the statues. And you're going like, why didn't you take a foot off? Why would you take the heads and why would you take 12 of them? Right?
Ooh.
So I mean, if you look at the essentially black magic that was occurring prior to this, it gets really creepy. So they take these down the day on the 14th. Okay. And they take them off the premises. Now, if you take and you look at what the church looked like on the 15th, you had that beautiful statue in the middle of the church with the Madonna holding Jesus, the dying Jesus or dead Jesus, and a few other things. But that was about it. And the only thing, all the religious, truly religious statues and stuff were gone. The only thing on the building were the gargoyles. And this one image in the middle. Okay, so you get this picture, right? Now, why would I absolutely be positive that it was a white hat strike? Nobody died and nobody was wounded. And the bees, the honeybees on the top of the building survived. A burning roof, and they survived. They were on the roof. The hives,
that's very
included. Okay, now, but take it another step. On the 15th, the president of France was supposed to give this big speech. And he didn't give it because of the fire. But he was supposed to give this big speech. Apparently that speech was full of a lot of information that was going to make the yellow vests really angry. And so the response would be a yellow vest, you know, in the streets. You know, it's sort of an antagonism against the yellow vests. And then they were supposed to blow up that church on Easter Sunday.
I think that's why it came down the way it did.
Yep. And so
saved so many people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I agree, it had to be the white hats.
Well, I hadn't even considered that. All I was considering was follow the money. And I thought, okay, now people from all over the world are going to send in millions, maybe even billions of dollars. And who's going to get it?
Oh, yeah, that too.
The other thing that people miss about this, that in this last year, over 2,000 churches and mosques have been vandalized and even
right.
burned.
Right.
You know, so they're building up to a crescendo. And according to this guy, it's called Serial Brain 2.
Right.
He was saying that the badasses, the ones that are the really dark, dark ones, do ritualistic blood sacrifices on Easter or Easter Eve. I'm not sure which. But that you know, because all of these when Easter falls and all of this, that's just all dependent on the moon, and I don't even know all this stuff, you know. But that is one of those things where they do their own version of, you know, resurrection. I'm going to put you on the other side.
They do sacrifices, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would have been a hell of a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And the other weird thing was that Passover coincided with Easter. Passover was on Friday. That very seldom happens. So a lot of symbols and symbolism in there. Okay, we can
change.
It
makes me wonder if you'll ever know, if we'll ever know the truth, you know?
Well, just put it on your list of things to know when you die. Don't you have a list like that?
No. Oh, I'm going to make one.
I've got a book's worth now.
Well, somewhere along the line, I heard that when you do cross over and you go all the way, that your knowledge will be given back to you all at once. So you'll know everything all at once.
Meaning so, everything and everyone that you were and all the missions that you were on and all the things that you've done, you'd have a complete view of your gathered soul fragments and their incarnations on everywhere. Yes?
Is that not just that, but everything else. Like, why are the swamp people doing what they're doing and what did they do? And knowledge of what was around you, too. You disagree?
Oh, no. That sounds wonderful.
Oh, okay.
I'm a knowledge junkie, so an information junkie, so that sounds really great.
So okay. I don't get all stressed out about things because of that. I'm going to find out when I get over there. It's
so
like Dan Blankenship.
Dan
Blankenship knows what the treasure is now.
She's talking Oak Island. Oak Island.
Oh, Oak Island. Oh. Judy, do you know about Oak Island?
No.
Fill her in, buddy.
Oh, man. Oak Island is up in Nova Scotia. And it's just an island, but it was a very active island. They're finding out that the Vikings were there.
Knight Templars.
Knight Templars were there. People have, throughout the years, have been burying gold there, and there's a cove where they made these tunnel-like things that were booby-trapping one of the main treasure spots that was, it's way down in the ground. So there's several of the chutes that will put water in it, the booby traps. And so throughout the years, there's been treasure hunters, and six of them have died. And the legend goes that there has to be seven of them who die. But then I get confused because Mr. Nolan died, Craig's son died, and Dan Blankenship died. They weren't actively seeking the treasure at the moments of their death, but they were on the treasure hunt. So they don't count those three as the seven who were supposed to die. So according to them not counting those three, there's one more who's going to have to die.
Yeah, but I think that was made up. I think that's a made-up story, and I don't believe in it. But I do believe that there is something protecting that treasure, because this has been 200 years that they've been looking for it, 200 years digging. And every time they try to do it, weird things happen. I mean, weird things.
Yeah, they find something, and then the next time they go there, it isn't there.
They have the big black cloud. There's a big black cloud that comes over the island.
Yeah.
There's a dog with red eyes that many of them have seen. There's, you know, one little girl saw British soldiers marching. I mean, the whole place is haunted as hell. One guy, he'd go out there in the daytime and work. It was Nolan. Nolan
yeah,
even owned,
Nolan.
Owned property on the place, and he never once spent one night on Oak Island. And he was one of the major hunters. He was scared to death of the place.
He has a house on there.
Yeah.
But he never would spend the night because of the haunting.
But these guys, the brothers, they basically bought the island from Dan. What's his name?
They started out with Dan Blankenship.
Yeah.
They bought his share. And then they did buy Fred Nolan's.
Yeah. So that they had access to the entire island. And they're finding, I mean, they're digging, and they're finding that some of the stuff goes back to the 1300s, the Knight Templars. And the supposition is that the Knight Templars, actually use this as a repository for the treasure that they had when the French king and the Pope basically tried to kill them all, because they had the biggest ship fleet out there in the world, and it disappeared. We know it went to Scotland, but then after that it disappeared. And the supposition is that they went to the New World, and that Oak Island was a repository for all of the treasure that they were able to get on these ships, and that the ships were essentially all sunk, or a good portion of them were sunk. And so there's story after story, and as they go through this, there's these, they give you just enough proof, you know, that there is, that this is all true. But then, you know, and I did a remote on the place because, you know, I kept saying, I don't want to cheat. I don't want to cheat. And then one day I said, well, maybe I'll just take a little look. And so I went down the main shaft where they think the treasure room is, that it's down there. So I just go follow the pipe down. And I get outside, and there's this, like, I know that there's this very, that there's a wall between me and a room. And I say, I ain't going through that wall. I don't know what's on the other side of that wall, but I am not going through that wall, right? And I just backed away from it. And all, well, synchronicity, thought in action. A couple of weeks later, I hear of one of the Far Side remote viewers did the same thing, went to Oak Island and decided to do a remote, and the exact same thing happened. He took the same trip I did, followed the pipe down, got to the room, went, oh my God, I'm getting out of here. So we don't know what's in that room at all. And there's rumor that it is the Ark of the Covenant.
Who is the Far Side? Who are the Far Side people that are doing the remotes?
Far Side. It's a group, a foundation. They've been doing remotes for probably a decade or more.
Aha. Uh-huh. And who's their sponsor, or who?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but just if you just Google the Far Side Institute.
Oh. It's not Courtney Brown, is it?
Say again? Yes, yes.
Oh yes, Courtney Brown. Okay.
Courtney Brown.
Okay.
Yeah. So
no, but, they've been down there too.
Yeah, one of them did. So you can just probably do, you know, the Far Side Institute, Oak Island, and find it.
Okay.
How did we get on Oak Island, Dolly?
You brought it up.
No, you did.
No, I didn't. You brought it up. I was talking about something.
Yeah, somebody asked me if I knew about it.
Oh, yeah. That was Dolly. I don't think
it was on the list to find out what we have, what we, all the knowledge that we're going to find out when we die.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Good for you, Barbara. Oh my God, you're so good.
We could call it our post bucket list.
Say again?
Yeah. We could call it our post bucket list, because our bucket list is what we want to do before we die, so our post bucket list would be what we want to do after we die.
Perfect.
Yes.
Our post bucket list. Very good.
I don't know. I mean, I think by now I probably got, you know, at least a steamship full of things in that boat. There are so many things in life where you go, what was that about? What was that about? What was that about? You know?
I run across something that I really couldn't understand. I didn't understand, so I'd say, God, when I get over there, you tell me about this. I was leaving it up to God to keep the notes.
God is your stenographer? Oh, my heavenly day.
But you know what the problem is with them up there? When we were working with Aurus, the grey elder, we'd ask him questions, and he'd just say, you know, you have all the answers inside, you know. They won't spoon feed you. You've got to find out for yourself. It's really frustrating.
It is. It really is. Walton says to me, ask your posse. Well, my posse tells me we can't tell you that. My posse being the spirits and angels who hang around me. He doesn't understand why they won't tell us. I think it's because they want us to learn these things. It's part of why we're here.
It's like cheating.
we've got to learn to develop our intuition.
Right. Because
we do have it all inside, but it's just we forget it when we come down here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, Judy, I have this whole list of questions, and if we're supposed to develop our intuition, I can't ask you.
Ask anyway. You never know.
Yeah, Judy, what is question? What's the answer to question number three? You guys are funny.
Dottie, you said you had questions you were going to ask Judy. So,
Well, the biggie was about the spaceships. Does she have any insider knowledge that they are about to be revealed to us?
Do you mean the spaceship in connection with the Notre Dame fire?
No, I mean in general.
Yeah. Well, it's free will down here. If the majority of Earth humans just suddenly decided to be peaceful and calm and stop all the warfare, everything could be revealed within about 5 minutes. But, you know, there's so much chaos going on down here. So it's not up to the ETs as to when things are going to be revealed. It's more up to people down here when the time's right. So, you know, I do feel that things are developing towards that, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping so. A couple of people were given some dates. 2021 was one of the dates given, or 2022. So, you know, look, that could be correct because I can feel things moving in that direction. So I'm hoping as much as everyone else is.
Do they get frustrated? Our out-of-town family, do they get frustrated with the Earthlings for being so ridiculously awful to each other?
Oh, well, yes. I remember one of the little greys once saying that Earth humans are the hardest species in the whole universe to work with. So, yeah, they do. If they had hair, they'd tear it out. That's why they don't have any hair. That's a bit of an in-joke with the greys. That's why we don't have any hair. We've torn it all out.
That's funny.
There's some of that grey humor.
Yes.
As opposed to dark humor.
Yep.
Well, that's a good... It makes me think of a question, too. Do the out-of-town family get involved in spiritualism, do they get involved in the satanic stuff as well as the good stuff?
No. All the dark stuff is basically down here, because what is really important to understand is the majority of the universe has evolved past third dimension. They're all vibrating at a much higher frequency. There are very, very few human species in the universe who are at that lower frequency as is happening on planet Earth. And, I mean, the problem here is because the planet was hijacked by a negative group who was still very, very active here. They keep reincarnating back again, and they basically held Earth humanity back. So, no, the dark stuff isn't off-planet. It's all down here.
Wow.
And at lower frequency levels, of course, lower astral, et cetera, you know, down low, in lower dimensions.
So the dark stuff, is it really a satanic thing? Is there really Satan?
Oh, yes. What they refer to as Satan is actually the energy of fear within human hearts. You know, we talk about the Christ element, which is the element of love, and the Satan element, which is the element of fear within our own being. So, yes, in a way, because we create through our reality, so, yes, there are negative thought forms that have been created, and that's what the lower astral plane is all about. So, yes, in a way, there is a satanic being, but it's more something that's been created through the way people think and fear.
Judy, would you call that like a morphogenic field? The more people that believe, the more this energy grows?
Yes.
Reality. Yeah.
Yes. And this is the reason why the group I call the controllers, the negative ones down here, are so into scaremongering and warfare and, you know, spreading fear, spreading disinformation and propaganda and misinformation, because the whole thing is they feed off fear. So they're trying to keep humanity down in that low vibrational frequency of fear. Fear's the lowest frequency, love's the highest. So that's their whole agenda, is to keep people in fear.
So they eat, what's that stuff?
Loosh.
They eat the loosh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I believe there is a devil. I always have, probably always will, until it's proven to me otherwise. by God. But I do believe there is a devil. And I just wondered if y'all had more knowledge than I do, because I don't have any knowledge when it comes to that. Just other than
there sort of is. I mean, you know, people have created it through their own fear. So yes, there are, like, you know, demonic thought forms around for sure.
Interesting. Because those swamp beings do these sacrifices with people and with children. Oh, my God, what they do to our children. And they're thinking they're doing it to Satan. Well, I think they are too, but in listening to other people, they say, oh, there is no Satan, yada, yada, yada. And I'm thinking, oh, on that. And I can't stand the thought that that people are being sacrificed so evilly and used so awfully for the sake of this devil thing that's supposed to give these swamp beings more power and more money. And I don't know how to stop them. My main thing is I want to stop them. And I don't know how.
What are the swamp beings? I've never heard that expression.
Oh, like the Democrats in Congress. The people who, whatever Trump says, they're going to do whatever they have to against him. Like not building the wall, the border wall, the saying, oh, it's ridiculous, not needed, yada, yada, yada. Well, everybody in the freaking world knows it is needed. It is a necessity, because there are bad people who are trying to get into the United States. Well, they're just getting in there now. And it just rattles my cage, these swamp beings. And I want to figure out a way to make them go away, because Q isn't working fast enough for my taste. You know,
Judy, have you heard of Q?
What?
Have you heard of Q?
No.
Okay. And the swamp beings, you know,
let's just take a break here, because it's the top of the hour. I didn't even realize that I was listening to her swamp people. So we'll come back, and when we come back, we'll talk about Q. How's that? Okay.
Okay.
All right. 5 minutes here. It's just going to be Phil Collins in the air tonight.
I can feel it coming.
And welcome back to the Say What Show. This is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard, Barbara White, and Judy Carroll. And the date is May 4th, 2019. I'm assuming everybody is back. It looks like Dolly is and Barbara. So, okay there. Where were you at?
We were going to talk... Barbara's going to explain to Judy Hoog's cue.
Actually, Judy, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. There's a big mystery as to who Q is, but it certainly appears to be someone that's very closely connected to Trump and his insiders. And they apparently... are decoding all kinds of things with numerology and when things are being sent out, when the tweets are posted. It's very, very complicated, and I find it difficult to follow because it's so mathematical, and sometimes I don't follow the thread, but there's quite a following, and maybe Nancy and Dolly, you could even add to that.
I didn't know they did it mathematically.
Oh, my goodness. It's really complicated. And they use
That I understand. Well,
numerology.
I
understand. They use the math for the numerology. And
okay, let's just set the stage here. Q came out as a poster in one of these chat rooms a couple of years ago. And he said a few things, and nobody paid too much attention, but then something happened, and they realized that this guy named Q Anonymous, I think it was, that he had said something that was predicting what happened, you know? So they started to listen more and more closely to what was happening, and pretty soon Q started posting a lot of these very cryptic posts. But then what happened was you had some people that sort of jumped out of nowhere, and they're going, oh, I know what this means. Okay? So what I think happened is that in order to reach out to the alternative community, they devised this amazing plan of giving them cryptic inside information. So it couldn't come back, and they couldn't be brought up on espionage charges because they released secrets. And then they planted, not all of these Q people that say that they understand Q are part of this group, but they planted some very key ones that really understood and knew how to break back what Q was saying. Now, is Q one individual? No, probably not. It's probably a group of people, probably with backgrounds that you would think you'd get in NSA, playing this game with us. But what happens is that they say things that are just really uncanny as to the accuracy. Somebody's doing something with their mic. I don't know who. Barbara, I think.
No, I don't believe I am.
Then it must be Dolly.
I didn't do anything. I'm sitting here listening.
We're all innocent.
But anyway, yes. So one of the things that is that happened is that it's causing a large group of alternative people to come together over one item, and that's the Q posts that get, I mean, if you want to get lost in a very interesting but kind of convoluted area, it is Q. But the thing of it is that along the way they have given us information like that John Kennedy Jr. is alive, okay? He did not die in that aircraft crash. It was, he's alive.
And it wasn't even his airplane.
Yeah, and it might even be that the fact that he is Q. I mean, there's been people that have suggested that he is Q. But anyway, so it's just this amazing side story that is part of the Trump legacy, I guess. Because what also happens is that Dolly, have you seen this? Let me see if I can get this right. That somebody will say to Q, if what you're saying is true, then have President Trump say boodily bop.
Yeah, yeah.
And then within moments of that, President Trump will say boodily bop.
Yeah.
And that, you know, things like that.
And it's Q isn't just one person. Q is a lot of white hats working together.
Supposedly, they're also using a very advanced computer that has advanced probability abilities. So they're working together with this supercomputer. I don't know whether it's practically AI or I don't know, but it's interesting.
It is. What it basically does, in my opinion, is it gives we the people hope. Hope that these frickin' swamp people aren't going to be able to get away with this crap much longer.
And Judy, you now understand who the swamp people are? You know, Trump talks about draining the swamp.
Yeah, well, from that's, what you said, now I understand. Yeah.
Are we okay with this conversation with you, Judy?
Oh, look, it's fine. We tend to stand back from all this world politics. You know, I don't get involved in it because, you know, I'm here on a spiritual mission, so, you know, I don't get involved in all the government and military stuff. So that's why I don't know much about it. I stay right away from it, basically on orders from above.
Well, we keep mentioning this because we're hoping you have an inside, you know, track and you can tell us, yes, Q is amazing. You know, and you keep refusing, you know, it's like, no, that's not, see, I mean, it's like, you won't let us cheat. Which I think is very honorable. I always, from when John Kennedy was assassinated, thought that it was just, you know, this horrendous thing. My future would have been so much different. Yes, it would have been. A lot of the things that we're confronting now would probably not have happened. But we would have been following a leader. Because it did happen. There was no leader. And people had to, on their own, become knowledgeable in areas they really didn't want to. And so it's a coming together kind of thing. And Q is doing the same thing. It's bringing people together. The yellow vest, bringing people together, you know, it's like, it is mundane 3D kind of drama, but it's fascinating if you look at it from a spiritual point of view in how these 3D storylines are bringing people together. I get on our some of our Facebook groups, you know, are growing in leaps and bounds, and people are coming there for the Shungite, basically. But then all of a sudden, they're up to their necks in all this drama that they didn't even know existed. You know? And but the thing of it is that in all that drama, thank God, I mean, we didn't have anybody like us or you standing there saying, you know, everything's going to be okay because there's this bigger picture here. And so a lot of us, you know, were confronting all of this terrible, terrible stuff, and I don't even know why most of us were able to continue in the path. But nowadays, it's like when these newbies get to the website, I had this one situation where they're newbies in the Shungite group, and somebody said, why, admin, they did it in big, bold letters, admin, you know, can you stop all this 5G? I came here to know about Shungite. And I explained to him, I said, these are new people. You know, they need to learn to post. They need to be, you know, feel comfortable just posting anything they want. Because they're learning terrible things, but if we allow them to post and then we can say, yes, we know about that and this is what you can do about it. And, you know, it's like there is a tremendous number of people that are just waking up rather fast. And, you know, I think our missions are in part or mainly right now is kind of like, you know, come on in, come on. The water's great. Everything's fine. Don't worry, you know, and be there for them.
You're going to be okay. Yeah.
So in the midst of all the drama, there is spiritual evolution happening. And hey, listen, we came here to play a game, you know.
We're playing it.
We're playing it. Yeah. But you
so
want to ask?
Been, what?
Go ahead.
I was wondering, what's been going on in Judy and Barb's life? Have they been off world recently? And if so, what are they doing? And can they share it?
Well, I would love to be able to share. However, I don't have any conscious memory. I only have evidence of the fact that I go. Judy is much clearer. She has a very, she has much more recall of what goes on. So Judy, why don't you pick that up?
Well, my life's been pretty boring too. The last couple of weeks I've had a friend very sick in hospital. So we've been doing a lot of healing with her and she's been taken up on the ship a couple of times to have healing done on her. I've been very involved in that. And I've had a lot of feedback on this interview I did, so I've spent hours on the computer every day, sort of getting back to people and answering emails, and basically just working with my Reiki and Tai Chi. So life's been just going on fairly sort of evenly, busily, but evenly here too. I am aware of going upstairs at night, and as I say, doing healing, particularly on this friend. So that's sort of been my concern for the past couple of weeks.
And this friend is another one of the people that were in on the Roswell convoy.
Yes. And the health problems she's going through as a result of what happened in the past life in the crash.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She was a survivor, is that correct?
Yeah.
And the people that didn't survive the crash have seemed to have a lot less memory.
Yes.
And I'm one that did not survive the crash.
Yeah.
So my memories are not as good. But, you know, Judy was, we share emails periodically. And she was talking to me about bruises. I don't even know how we got onto it, but we were talking about bruises and scratches that are left behind when we've been on the ships at night. And I've just thought for years before I ever met Judy that I was on the ships at night. I didn't even know what it meant. But I, you know, make jokes about see you on the ships. And, of course, people didn't know what I was talking about, but I got an inner giggle. Anyway, one of the things, and I've been writing also to Lisa, who is one of the survivors of the crash. And she was talking about bruises and scratches. And, you know, I have bruises and scratches in weird places on my body frequently. I'll have poke holes and scratches on the back of my arms or on my back or on my neck in the back. Like, I'm thinking, what am I doing to myself in the middle of the night? You know, that I get lots of poke holes as if I had been had needles, like in the back of my arm or in the back of my leg or on my bun, you know. I can't even imagine. I haven't been even able to imagine how I could have gotten these scabs and these bruises. And that's one of the ways that we are being reminded that we were on the ships.
We do them to ourselves sometimes. But the thing is when we go up onto the ship for healing, I don't know if any of you have ever had any conscious experience of receiving healing from one of the tall greys, the teachers. When they do healing on you, they tend to press very, very hard. I had one of them give me a massive massage all around my mouth and down into my throat many, many years ago when they wanted me to, you know, speak out like this. And I was having throat and jaw problems. And the pressure that he was putting on with his fingers right down into my throat, and at times he was standing behind me, actually having to support my head with his body as he sort of pressed back into my throat. It was just incredible. So I have come to realize, and I remember doing this one night on the ship, doing healing on people, and we apply this pressure. And this is the reason why we sometimes come back with bruises, or people come back with bruises on their body, because the healing, the actual healing itself, there's a lot of pressure involved. And when we put our hands on people, there's a lot of energy coming out of our fingertips and that. And it does leave these marks on the physical body. They're very, very rarely painful, and they heal very quickly. It's not that they worry the person. Well, I mean, they wonder where they come from, but, you know, it's not like it's a painful injury or anything. But it's caused by the pressure of the healing, the energy that's coming out of the hands, and it's also allowed to happen. So it does give the person evidence of the fact that they've been up there and had something done.
Judy, are needles sometimes used? Because I have lots of little needle, like little round, tiny, as if it was a needle that had been used in my healing.
Yep. They do acupuncture techniques as well.
Okay, because I frequently have lots of those. And, you know, it's interesting that you say fingers are used, because many times these bruises are just tiny little round circles.
Yes,
as if it was end of a, yeah, and I know that grays have very, we have very, very long, thin fingers. They're not as blunt as ours. And it would be a perfect reason for the bruises to look the way they look.
Oh, yes, yes. Look, I know someone who woke up with a massive bruise on their bottom. And the work, there'd been work done on their base chakra to balance their energy system out. They were in a very, very desperate situation, taken up on the ship, and one of the teachers worked on them in a heck of a hurry because it was a real emergency situation and was almost like CPR being applied, but it wasn't cardiopulmonary. It was on another chakra system, part of their chakra system, base chakra. So it was, they went in sort of from the back, and massive, massive hand-shaped bruise on the person's bottom.
So, Barb, do you hurt?
No, I don't. You know, I find these bruises when I am, if my back is itching, I'll reach back and I'll, or a bruise on the back of my arm. Somebody will say to me, oh, how did you get that bruise? And I'll look, and most of them are not, most of them are not on the front part of my body so that it would be really noticeable. I'd have to notice it in the mirror, or if I'm taking a shower, I might notice it. Usually they're not on my hands. They're on the fleshy parts of my body. And on the back of my arms, the back of my legs, my back, the back of my neck, my shoulder blades, sometimes on my outer thighs, very frequently places where you would not normally scratch yourself or bump yourself. You know, I go 90 miles an hour wherever I go, and I bump myself a lot, but I bump myself on my knee or in the front of my thigh, or, you know, those are obvious, but these are not. These are, I probably have many more that I haven't even noticed or knew about all my life. You know, I've been more conscious of them lately, and then it was really helpful writing to Judy and to Lisa, because they were helping me, you know, understand where these are coming from.
The other thing, Barbie, that we have to remember, those of us who are Zetas down here or Greys down here, when we're up on the ship, we step out of our body, and we often use our body to, for us, when we're up there, the body is just a container. It's just a vehicle. It's nothing. So we'll actually step out of the body and use our body as a way for trainee healers to work. I mean, I have a conscious memory of doing that, of laying my body down on the table and standing behind it while two, I can't remember how many there were, a couple of small greys, learned how to use a sort of a laser cutting instrument. And I woke up the next day with this long, straight cut right around my lower right leg, and it had actually been cauterized. I had little blisters all along it. And I only remembered when I saw it, I thought, oh, yeah, I remember doing that. Well, I wasn't doing it, but I was guiding them.
That's a good thing to remember, yes.
And I can remember them doing it, and I was completely, you know, wasn't, oh, wow, that's my body. You know, it was just, okay, here's my body, practice on that, rather than practicing on somebody else.
So they were just practicing?
Yeah, they were practicing. Because I remember one of them was trying to use a laser cutter on the leg, and he couldn't get around properly. And I said, okay, what you got to do, you've got to get the leg and turn it so you can get it down to the lower part of the leg, you know, because the body was lying face up. And I was guiding him and saying, okay, move the leg so you can get the cutter around that way.
Judy, we're talking about healing here, and you have said earlier that people have to ask. Can you give instructions to those who are listening as to how they might ask or what they might ask for?
Oh, good question.
Oh, you know, just whatever you want. You just put it out as you're going to sleep. I mean, we're very casual with the whole thing. We don't go through, you know, like prayers or rituals or anything. If I want something done as I'm going to sleep, I'll just say, hey, guys, you know, come on, Grey family, take me up on the ship tonight. I need such and such done. And that's it. That's all I do. It's just the same as when we're doing Reiki treatments, we ask them in before I start the treatment. I say, come on, guys, I'm doing a treatment. Come in and help me. You know, if I need help, would you be here for me? And if it's needed, they come. Most of the time. Occasionally they're busy, but they'll generally come.
Well, that might help someone, you know, that it's so simple.
I remember once doing a treatment on a woman who had never had anything like that done. She wasn't much into spiritual stuff at Reiki. And she was on the table receiving a Reiki treatment, and she started actually leaving her body, as often happens when a person's receiving a Reiki treatment. And I didn't realise, but she started to panic. Anyway, the next minute, she told me this after the treatment was over, the next minute she felt these really strange hands with long fingers close around her ankles and guide her back down into her body and stay there with her through the rest of the treatment, basically anchoring her in the body and holding her. And she said after the treatment, she was talking about it, and she said, oh, it was just so lovely. She said, I was able to relax then. And what had happened, one of the tall greys had come down, realizing she was panicking. I didn't, but he did. And he came down, held her feet, basically kept her grounded through the whole treatment so she was able to relax.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting, and that leads me into one of the questions that I want to ask you about Jesus, because I have worked on people who said there was more than one set of hands that were working on them when I just been here by myself, sort of by myself.
Yeah.
I don't call myself a Christian. However, when I have worked on people several times, I have looked up, and I know this sounds strange, but maybe it doesn't. Jesus is walking through my living room and through the dining room and coming over and laying his hands. I mean, there's really a being there.
Yeah.
Laying his hands on the people that that are on the table, and has even come and, you know, and like looks in my face and asks in a questioning expression, can I put my arm around you? And of course, you know, who would resist, you know, the blessings of a saint if it's only a saint? Anyway, yes, other beings come in during a Reiki treatment. And I wanted, I had sent you, I think, some questions. I don't know if you were able to look them over, but one of them was, was Jesus an ET? Do you know? And do you think that he partly could be partly a gray? What do you know, Judy? We're getting controversial here, but do you know anything?
Oh, yes, yes. Look, all of those off-planet teachers, Jesus included, are all from higher levels of the human ladder, the cosmic ladder. So, yes, they are ET people or interdimensional people. Obviously, very, very highly evolved beings. Jesus, for example, would have had pretty well, you know, 90 to 100% of his consciousness open. So he had a very, very close direct link with Source. I mean, again, we go into the idea of God down here. People talk about God and think about God as a physical old man up on a cloud, and that's just not correct. God is a very, very high frequency energy of love that is basically like the super glue of the whole universe. God's not a physical being. God is an energy. And all the ETs refer to God as Source or Oneness. That's the term they use. They don't use the term God. They use the term Source or Oneness. Now, when you get a highly evolved spiritual teacher like Jesus or Buddha or, you know, any of those ones coming down here, they have basically 100% open consciousness to Source energy. So they're able to fully channel Source energy. And this is the idea behind Jesus being, you know, the Son of God. He's not only the only son of God. We're all sons of God. We're all children of God. But he just could access a much higher frequency of energy because of the fact that he was working as a conscious channel. So, yes, sure, he would still be coming in and helping people with healing, just the same as the other beings are.
I think every time that this has happened during a Reiki treatment, it has been somebody that I have worked with from a church. And right. So that would be the person that they would want to come in and join exactly. them in the healing.
Exactly, exactly. Because remember, the bottom line is we're all energy. So Jesus is an energy. We're all energy. This is the real meaning behind us being created in the image of God. It's not that God's a human being. We're all energy, interdimensional energy beings, as Source is an interdimensional energy. And Jesus is. So if that's the energy frequency that they feel comfortable with being Christians, then it makes huge sense that energy frequency of Jesus would come in during a healing and help people. That makes huge sense.
It makes me think of what we were discussing at the beginning of our talk this evening about morphogenic fields, and the more belief that there is, the stronger that energy and the manifestation of that energy becomes.
Exactly, because we feed it with our own consciousness. We create our own reality. So therefore, if we have a strong belief in something, we actually create that thing and bring it into our energy field.
Well, that leads me into another question. If Dolly or Nancy don't have something to follow up with that, I have another question that leads
in. Oh, you go for it.
Oh,
you forgot it?
Energy. It just left because I was inviting you in. I was being a polite little girl. All right.
Don't be so polite.
Choose to remember. Jesus, morphogenic field, healers. Say something, guys, and it'll come back to me.
You had a question.
I have to let it go.
Rub your earlobe. That's supposed to bring back things you've forgotten.
Pardon?
If you rub your earlobe, there are acupressure points in your earlobe that helps you to remember.
Get my earrings out of the way. I know. Thank you. That worked. It absolutely, even with my earrings.
That was awesome.
I got to remember
that. If we create our own reality, then we have created all these situations that we are living through in this world 3D level. And it has become so dark. What would the grays, what would be said about how we have created this and why? Why would we create this?
Well, it's been created because the situation is set up down here. So, you know, many millennia ago, the planet was hijacked by a negative group, okay? And they basically took control of human minds. So for many millennia, we've been totally brainwashed and mind-controlled. The reason behind it, that's a little bit hard to explain. It's all part of a learning curve, obviously. But, you know, the whole idea is to learn to focus on positivity rather than negativity. We're, all human races or species are training or at some stage in their training to become creators. We're part of the creative source energy. And part of our lessons in this on a planet like Earth, it's a school planet, so part of our training is to learn to create positively rather than create negatively. Now, we create positively by thinking in a positive and loving way. We create negatively by being caught up in fear. Now, the control group down here who hijacked the planet is controlling humanity to think in a negative way. There's all sorts of brainwashing going on to keep this control going. And our goal in life, our key to graduating from the school is to turn our thought patterns around from focusing on negative to focusing on positive. This is what our training involves, and it is. It's a tough school. It's a very, very tough school, but we can get through it, but we need to understand. And this is why people like myself and other ETs who are down here are doing now. We're trying to get this across to people that the key is in your own hands. You have to learn to focus on positive rather than negative. Now, I'm not saying that we just, you know, take that Pollyanna attitude, oh, everything's lovely. It's not. Stuff is going on down here, real negative stuff, and we have to be aware of it. But the idea is not to dwell on it and focus on it too much. Just try and turn it around in the way we live our own lives. You know, we're creating every moment of our life, we're creating.
Reality is what we think it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually an illusion. And as I said before, if the greater majority of Earth humans could suddenly switch from negative focusing to positive focusing, things could be healed down here in the flash of an eye, you know, blink of an eye, I mean, flash of light, blink of an eye. That's the bottom line. People have to learn to stop thinking in a fearful, negative way.
Yes. Have Earth humans been held back for an inordinately amount of time, an inordinate amount of time?
Yes, they have.
Why?
Yes, they
By
have.
Who?
One, this controller group down here. One of the grey teachers once likened it to planet Earth being shunted into a siding, like a railway siding, beside the main line. The universe is travelling along the main line, and planet Earth's been shunted into a siding. It's also been compared to a stagnant pool that's been cut off from the main flow of the river. And the reason why they've now intervened is it has got to a point. Once nuclear energy was discovered and nuclear weaponry developed, Earth humanity became a danger to other species. And so now off-planet people have stepped in to try and heal the situation down here.
To take it even deeper, Judy, what would have been the reason that we would, as souls, have allowed this Reptarian control to come in and hold us back for so long? What would be, like, the even deeper reason for that? Do you have an idea that you could share with us?
Well, I think, again, every negative situation has a positive side. What the Reptarians have done down here is they've given people the choice of fear or love. It's a free will planet. Okay, what we feel in our deepest heart and soul is free will. It's not dictated to you by anybody. And so making this free will choice is something, it's happened to all races in the whole universe. All human cultures have gone through it in one way or another, having to make this free will choice over whether to choose love or fear. So what the Reptarian controllers are doing, they are giving us this choice. So in a way, it's a positive thing because you can't have, I mean, you can't appreciate day without night. You can't appreciate happiness without sadness. You need that duality and polarized situation on the planet to be able to choose. So it is. It's a massive, massive, major choosing exercise. That's what the Armageddon thing is all about. People think the Armageddon is religious wars. It's not. It's a war that is going on in every human heart. The choice between the Christ element and the Satan element, the love element and the fear element. And we have to make that choice. It has to be an active choice. We can't just be washed around like jellyfish in the tides. We have to make an active choice to choose positivity over negativity.
Okay, so if that is the case, I remember hearing one time that nuclear radiation was really good for us because it was going to change our DNA in order for us to evolve. Now, I've only heard that one time, and it may not be true. However, if all this has a positive side, I'm wondering about 5G technology. Is there a chance that there is a benefit to this? And if there is, what do you think it might be?
Yes, yes. Again, everything has a negative and positive side. Because planet Earth's right on the bottom rung of the human ladder, everything down here is very, very polarized. So, yes, all these technologies do have a positive side in that, yes, they can affect our DNA, but they also act as an incentive, a catalyst to make us embrace spirituality, because by embracing spirituality, immediately has the effect of raising our vibrational frequency. So that's what this whole thing is about, giving people the incentive to raise their vibrational frequency, which will enable the shift from fourth to fifth world consciousness to go more easily. So, yeah, it's basically offering an incentive to push people. I think on another show here I spoke about this, how a group of Reiki people went over to Chernobyl to bring healing to the people who'd been affected by the nuclear disaster over there. And they actually used to put a Geiger counter on these Reiki people when they came back from doing their healing work and back to wherever they were staying. They put a Geiger counter on them to check out the amount of fallout, you know, their bodies had taken on board. And they found that the higher they had gone in Reiki, which is a very spiritual practice, the less they were affected by the nuclear fallout. I found that absolutely fascinating. Recently, there was also another study done with Reiki, and I mean, I'm not just talking about Reiki here, I'm talking about spiritual practice in general. They used EMG electrodes being put onto people who were receiving Reiki treatments, and they found that the vibrational frequency was raised during the time the treatment was being given. And this would apply with other healing modalities as well. So any spiritual or healing modality that raises our vibrational frequency, prayer, yoga, Reiki, meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, anything like that that works on our energy body to raise our vibrational frequency is going to assist us past all these negative things that are going on.
So the 5G wouldn't affect us individually if we didn't accept it?
What wouldn't affect
us? The 5G energies.
No. Because the vibrational frequency is our protection. If we can get our frequency up to a higher octave, it's not going to affect us negatively.
We can't let 5G happen, period, because we might be able to do that, but it kills the microorganisms in the soil. It kills all the birds. It kills the vegetation. We can't let this happen. This is the most important focal point in everybody's life right now, that you have got to stop it, because that's where you're going to make the jump between going with the flow and making that shift into higher energies. It's not just us. It's the entire biosphere that we've got to protect.
And to
me. Now, I do have a question for you. And this is a technical question, okay? My understanding is that the North Pole is now in Russia. That, you know, back in 13, it was moving 55 kilometers a day towards Russia, and now it is in Russia. So you've got a situation where there is a drastic change in the electromagnetic field that we are living in. Is this correct? Are your scientists understanding? Am I understanding something that your scientists also know?
Yes. It's all to do with the vibrational frequency of the planet shifting. We are shifting to a higher frequency. So, yes, there's a lot of shifts going on, polar changes and things like that. Also, going back to the point of how the 5G is affecting the whole environment, we have to go back to here, the fact that we are all one. So whatever we do by putting our positive vibes and raising our own vibrational frequency to a higher level, this is going to affect the whole planet, the nature of the planet, the environment. So practicing spiritual things ourselves is going to protect the planet itself, because we are part of the planet. We're all one. We're not separate from nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, I'm very active in a 3D way of waking people up to the dangers of 5G. But as a solution, the solution is that we individually, each of us, change ourselves so that we would not accept that in our reality. And once you don't accept it in your reality, everything shifts. But, you know, if we have to do it one person at a time, you don't have to go out like I'm telling people to do, you know. But you do have to make this shift in within yourself. No, I just am not going to let that be in my reality. Now, that could be considered wishful thinking, but reality is what you think it is, and majority rules. So the more people that put the energy into looking at, that's not going to happen here. Let's just not think about it. Let's get on with life. Let's get on with love. Let's get on with fixing the problems that we have created within this biosphere. And once you get to that point, the 100th monkey thing jumps in and boom, done deal.
Absolutely sure. Look, quantum physics is proving this now, that we create our own reality and it all begins with ourselves. I mean, that's the whole key that people need to. I just get so annoyed when I hear people surfing the net looking for negative stories all about the negative ETs and about this and about that. I mean, sure, be aware, but don't link into it. You know, it's just that's what I do. I say this is not my reality. I'm not buying into that. You know, that's so important.
Well, when the Russians did some experimentation with making these apparatuses where the person would get inside of them and they would take out all the magnetic fields so that they were no longer within the Earth's magnetic field, these people went into high states of for lack of another word, psychic abilities through this, just the change in the magnetic field. Now, if this is, and this is high proven science, this is not anything voodoo, you know, this is science. And so if you know that, and you know that the magnetic fields of the Earth are changing drastically, that means that because of science, that everything else is going to change drastically too, because it's energies in relationship to energies. So that's a given fact. Now, where I'm at is that if I know this science, certainly the dark side knows the science. And if you realize that, oh my gosh, you know, the magnetic field is changing so fast, these people are going to get their powers and we're done in, you know, I think that that is the rush for the 5G, is to kill them all before they can get there. And, you know, so it's like this kind of, you feel like that time is running out in the game. You know, because
it's not really, because we've got to remember reincarnation. I mean, death's only a transition. So, okay, if some people don't survive the shift, but then they reincarnate and they'll get the chance to come back.
Yeah, but I think that's a new game.
That's the thing we have to remember.
I think it's a new game. I think that every time you die, you get a new game. You come back, you get the game. It's like those video things, you know, these digital, whatever they do. They're playing the game, but they go off and they become a 3D person for a little bit, and then they go back to the game. The game is continued while they were gone, and then you catch up. But it's always a new game. Mm. And I think that that's exactly what life is about. You know, you get to a certain plateau of learning in the game, and then boop, you die, and then you decide, well, am I going back in that game room? Am I going to play that one again? You know,
exactly. Do I need to for my experience, or can I go on to something new? Exactly.
Well, you know, you got to look at the concept of where's the Breyers chocolate ice cream, and if it's over there, well, I'm going to go back then. You know. we never know what really draws us back into any scenario, because there's so many scenarios available to us when we're in that etheric, you know, between deciding which game we're going to go.
Yeah, well, basically it's all to do with learning. So that's what decides us what we need to learn, or what we need to do, or an unfinished business we need to finish off or carry out, you know, whatever our karma is. I mean, I can remember making conscious decisions between lives about coming back here and continuing with the group for this mission.
I think some of us don't even want to come back for the learning. You know what I'm saying? It's a free will universe. Some of us are just into the game.
The thing is once we get over there, we're looking through the eyes of our soul, our higher self, and so we don't get caught up in the emotion of it. We can see the bigger picture.
Sometimes.
Which we often lose when we come back down here.
I think I've made some errors from that level. Well, let's try this now. Oh my, what did we decide to do that for? I think there's been a few of those. Dolly, I think, will attest to that.
Oh, I don't want to come back. No, no, no. I've had enough.
We're all down here phone home.
Yeah, I want to go home. I'm homesick. But I'm not ready to go yet.
No.
Well, I tell her that she's a figment of my imagination. You know, she's part of my reality. And until I write her out of the story, she ain't going nowhere. What's the next question there? Oh, wow, we only got 8 minutes. Okay, listen, tell people about your books and how to get them, because we mentioned it, and how to get in touch with you. Please. Judy.
Okay. Our website is ufograyinfo.com, spelled with an E and gray, G-R-E-Y, UFO, UFO dot, getting myself all mixed up. UFOgrayinfo.com is our website. My latest book is Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History, and that's available from Amazon, either as a print book or as an e-book. My other books are The Zeta Message and Human by Day, Zeta by Night. You can get in touch with me through our Facebook page, which is The Zeta Message, or through my page, Judy Carroll. They can send me a message through or make a friendship request. We also have two YouTube channels. The Zeta Message is one, and the other one is Zeta Guardian 1, number 1, on which we've loaded a very interesting aura cleanse that we were taught by the teachers upstairs. So that's quite an interesting YouTube channel. I was trying to think, anything else I need to put across?
I would like you to give me those links either in here or an email so that we can put them at the bottom of the YouTube program.
My email address is judy.carroll@bigpond.com. Okay. People can contact me through that too.
Say it again, please. You want to say it again, please?
Yes, judy.carroll@bigpond.com.
That's Big Pond, P-O-N-D?
B-I-G-P-O-N-D, Big Pond.
Okay. All right, great.
Not Great right. Lake, Big Pond.
Judy, would you say the websites again? And I think it's really interesting that you mentioned the aura cleanse, because I was going to ask you if you would tell people how to find that. Especially energy practitioners might find that very, very helpful.
Yes. Oh, it's just wonderful. I can go on and learn it for themselves. Go on to the YouTube channel.
We've got about 9 minutes here. Why don't you run through that a little bit? Tell people more about it.
Talk about the aura cleanse a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. Why? Because I'm interested.
Yes, going back to 2001... or 2002, I can't remember when it was, when I was helping out the family of my co-author, Helene Kay. On one occasion, our grey teacher, Auris, came in and gave us some information about our Reiki work. And in the process of this, he showed us this aura cleanse that we could carry out. And it can be done by people who aren't attuned to Reiki, so, you know, it can be done by anyone. And on this occasion, I was visiting Helene, and when I left to go home, Helene and her daughter Kira decided to practice this aura cleanse, because Helene's a Virgo, so she likes details, and she wanted to write it all down, and it is fairly complex. There's 13 steps in it. So they were practicing away in their lounge room, and all of a sudden this really loud voice came, "Fingers together, put your fingers together." And all the dogs in the area started barking. And Kira left, ran to the front door thinking it was somebody outside. And, of course, there was no one there. And their dog didn't react. And all of a sudden they realized it was actually Auris's voice that Helene heard. He was giving her instructions, because as she was doing the aura cleanse, she had her fingers apart. And he was telling her, no, fingers together.
Now, who's and Auris?
This is Auris's, this grey, tall grey teacher that they were working with. And Kira could see and hear him, but Helene, her mum, couldn't. And Kira was worried that her mum wouldn't believe, you know, all this stuff that was coming through. And so Oris allowed Helene to hear his voice to prove that what Kira was experiencing was real. And as Helene said, oh, God, you could have scraped me up off the floor. She got such a shock. And she said it was a really loud, powerful, but very kind voice. And it was Oris. And their dog didn't react because he was so used to having Oris around the house. He knew it was just Oris, whereas all the rest of the dogs in the street started barking. So anyway, they wrote the details of the Aura Cleanse down and put it up on YouTube so people can go in and have a look and learn how to do it. Helene's the person on the table. I'm the one carrying it out. And Helene's husband is the one giving the guided instructions in the background.
Could you say that YouTube or website again so that people can write it down and hear it
yes.
again?
Yes, our website is ufograyinfo.com, and the Aura Cleanse YouTube channel is Zeta Guardian 1, so that's all one word and the letter 1 after it, and we also have another channel, the Zeta Message. Also, if people Google my name, they'll come up with a lot of interviews.
Thank you.
We're getting popular here, Judy.
We have about a minute and a half left, or maybe even less than that.
Well, not really, because we started a little late. We've got 5 minutes if you want to go the 2 hours. If you have to leave, we can stop it at the top of the hour.
I do have 2 phone calls I have to make.
See, there's always somebody that has to go someplace.
Yeah.
I've got a whole day ahead of me because it's only 10 o'clock in the morning here.
Oh, wow, that's true. I forgot about that. Well, listen, thank you both so very, very much. And, of course, Dolly, Dahlia and I just always look for. Well, we've got a really good group of people. Next week is going to be Annie Avedisian.
Oh, Annie Avedisian. Annie Avedisian.
Yes. And she's just delightful. And then we have, of course, Christia coming slacks. But you guys are just so different. I mean, how many times does people say, "Yeah, we're going to talk to ETs, the out of towners," you know? And friends of mine have looked at me like, "Oh, she's lost it. She's done." And I go, no, really, that's what I'm going to be doing.
And you got to know, I don't usually say anything like that. I got some friends that I'm going to talk to. Because they already think I'm crazy.
I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm going to go talk to the suburban shaman or the angel medium, but to say that you're going to talk to some ETs, I mean, that's really cool, so.
Yes, it is. I love it.
We are so blessed because it's such a group of people that have come together to do what we do, and I am so grateful to you all for participating. It's so much fun.
Well, we're grateful to you for giving us the chance to do it.
Yes, and I've been lucky enough that we could do this, It's
my pleasure. To be included.
And ditto on all the above.
Okay, so thank you very much. It's 8 o'clock, and somebody has to go make some phone calls.
Well, it's past my bedtime. I usually go to bed at 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. So.
Oh, my.
Wow, I thought I was bad at 8:30.
Have a great day, Judy.
Oh, yes, yes, take care. We'll meet again next month.
There we go.
Bye-bye.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Say what? Say what radio show? With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.